court.
We'll be right back.
The Senoritas, they wave when you arrive they wear are slacks and Bobby socks.
Aye, Tampico, Tampico, on the Gulf of Mexico. Tampico, Tampico, down in Mexico.
You buy some pottery there to beat the luxury tax. You'll find that when you get home, it is selling cheaper at Saks.
Aye, Tampico, Tampico, on the Gulf of Mexico. Tampico, Tampico, down in Mexico. On the Gulf of Mexico, Tampico, Tampico, down in Mexico.
Thank you. Rhythm is our business, rhythm is what we sell. Rhythm is our business, business sure as well. If you're feeling blue, rhythm's what you need. If you got rhythm, you're sure to succeed. Rhythm is our business, business sure as well. He's the drummer man in the band.
In the band.
Craw beats on them drums
in the band.
Now when he does tricks with the sticks, the boys in the band all play hot licks. He plays saxophone in the band. Joe blows all that saxophone in the band.
In the band.
Oh, when he goes up that scale, dee doo ba ba doo 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 dee. Plays on the bass in the band. Mose plays all that bass in the band. Now when he picks all those strings, happiness to you he brings. Steve blows on the trumpet in the band. Steve blows all that trumpet in the band. Oh, he's the guy, hits him high, makes you think he's in the sky. Oh, rhythm is our business.
Decide to roam. Gotta take take that sentimental journey, sentimental journey home, sentimental.
Good afternoon, listeners. This is killradio.org. I'm Johnny Radio. You're listening to the Brown Derby. Today we're going to have a series of interviews and a lot more swing music. So please stay tuned and the party will continue. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. Having a momentary equipment slowdown. This happens sometimes at Kill Radio when you're running an independent radio station on a shoestring, shoelaces. We're walking around without shoelaces. We're on killradio.org, and I'm waiting for my equipment to catch up with me. And we have several lovely guests that are going to be speaking with me today on the air. The topic today is the Brown Derby, which, as most of you know, is a very special cafe in Los Angeles. My CD players are not working right now for me, so I'm going to try to go right into some more interesting material. I'm going to play some interviews now.
All film stars. It was like the ground zero.
Thank you for listening.
I'm Christine Cho. I'm an associate with Philip Flemming Architects. The proposed building that we have shown right now is a mixed-use complex. It's currently showing a specialty supermarket along with 80 condominiums, lofts, and townhome styles.
No, it's not a cocktail. It's a Shirley Temple cocktail. And why the Shirley Temple? Because it was created at the Brown Derby. Yes, Shirley Temple, like all film stars, went to the Brown Derby. It was a haven for all film stars. It was like the ground zero of Hollywood. It wasn't just the celebrities. It was the directors. It was the producers. It was the screenwriters. It was the staff. Everybody who was anybody in Hollywood went to the Brown Derby. So you mix up a little club soda, a little grenadine, people put an orange in. I personally prefer the maraschino cherry. You mix it up. But you know, in real life, Humphrey Bogart went to the Derby too. Everybody went to the Brown Derby. So, you know, rumor has it that he was pretty good when he was on the set. You know, maybe he'd have a beer or a light cocktail, but he wouldn't go too heavy. And then when the work was over, he would head to the Brown Derby because the Brown Derby was open late. Of course, when he wasn't working, he'd get there at noon. But
the main thing people are interested in, of course, are the movie stars that made it famous. And there were regulars, everyone from Chaplin to Barrymore to found out that it opened in 1941. And Cecil B. Hi, my name is Mark Wanamaker, and I am a professional historian relating to the motion picture and television industry, and also specialize in the history of Southern California, Los Angeles, Cecil B. DeMille. And while I was at the estate researching the history of his involvement in the creation of Paramount Pictures and other interesting stories about him and his involvement with Los Angeles' history, I was amazed to see that Cecil B. DeMille was a major investor in the Brown Derby enterprise. And he knew Mr. Somborn, who started it, and he knew Mr. Cobb, who continued it. And he was very much involved with its operation. And not only did he own the property of where the building was located, he also owned a piece of the business. So you can imagine in his files there were interesting documents and things relating to this, which focused in on the, for me, the Brown Derby history. Found out that it opened in 1941, and it was already a restaurant, which I had no idea, because I found some pictures of what it used to be. It used to be called Willard's. And Willard's was a chain of these little restaurants, drive-ins, around town, like roadhouses. And apparently DeMille purchased that property, and they built this brand new streamlined designed restaurant, which they called the car, you know, the Brown Derby Car Cafe. So I got really interested, and that's how DeMille came into that. That's what I found there, besides other interesting documents relating to their merchandising of their liquors and wines under the Brown Derby label. And that they opened a store, actually, somewhere on, I think it's next to the Brown Derby in Hollywood, an actual store, a liquor store, in which you could go in there and buy Brown Derby products. So
you could actually buy a bottle of Brown Derby wine.
Yeah, exactly.
Are any of these bottles floating around anyplace?
You know, DeMille had some of them in his wine cellar, which the wine was no good.
You tried it.
Yeah, no, but you could see that. Oh, okay. It was vinegar. And that I pulled, I dumped some of it out and kept the bottles, you know, a few of the bottles, which is a collectible. And, of course, I met Sally Cobb, the wife of Cobb, and who the Cobb salad is named after, of course. And Bob Cobb, I mean, he was the second owner after Mr. Somborn died. And it was really Cobb that made it the most famous in the whole world. And Peggy Cobb Walsh is, you know, the family members and Sally Cobb and all of these surviving people. Well, Sally Cobb passed away not too long ago. But I worked on a book that she did with a writer by Mark Willems, his name is. And it's called The Brown Derby Restaurant, A Hollywood Legend. But basically, the whole book is of what most people are interested in, that is the movie stars that came to all the Brown Derbies and some of the recipes, you know, the famous recipes. Of course, the most famous one is the Cobb salad. But the main thing people are interested in, of course, is the movie stars that made it famous. And there were regulars, everyone from Chaplin to Barrymore to Jerry Lewis to, you know, all the contemporary people up to the 60s. Early 70s, pretty much ended. It was not the same Brown Derby as it used to be. But in its heyday, from the 20s all the way up to the 60s, I mean, everybody in Hollywood at one time or another did go to the Derby. And the Derby's importance relating to someone like me, studio and industry historian, is the simple fact that Brown Derby was used by the film industry for publicity matters, and the Brown Derby people loved it, and they allowed the camera people to come in, do interviews. People did radio programs out of there. They did publicity events, dance events, etc., etc., and that is what made the Brown Derby famous. Film companies actually came and used both Brown Derbies as a film location, the Hollywood one and the Hat, all the way back to the 20s, the silent era. And it became a national and international icon of Hollywood. And on postcards that were sent all around the world, you could see on there, it said, "Greetings from Hollywood," even though the Hat was located on Wilshire Boulevard in the Miracle Mile of Los Angeles, and it wasn't Miracle Mile, excuse me, in the Wilshire District of Los Angeles, right across the street from the Ambassador Hotel. But didn't matter, because so many Hollywood people stayed and dealt with their business affairs at the Ambassador Hotel and went to the Round Derby, parts of Los Angeles, like that area there, was known as Hollywood, even though it wasn't physically in Hollywood. But then the idea of Hollywood is Los Angeles anyway. Culver City, where MGM was located for many years, was called Hollywood, until the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce made a deal with the Culver City Chamber of Commerce, in which then the MGM studio would advertise their film as being made from Culver City, not Hollywood anymore.
Okay.
So the Brown Derby in Los Feliz is interesting because in those days, when it opened in 1941, that whole area there was more or less residential as it is today. And there were a few corners here and there which had a commercial district. And Hillhurst and in Los Feliz Boulevard, where it's located, is sort of right on the edge there in between the residential neighborhoods. And Cecil B. DeMille only lived a couple miles away, really, in Laughlin Park, which is part of Los Feliz. So the car cafe became a part of the new car culture coming up right at the beginning of World War II, and of course everything was put on hold until after World War II, and then the car culture, as we all know, boomed starting in 1948 and 49 into the 50s as being really synonymous with California and convertibles and drive-ins.
Hollywood history, and is preserving it something that's really essential to preserving Hollywood history?
That's an excellent question, and a lot of people ask me that. What's the well, so what? Go. What do we care? Well, people like myself, of course, grew up here and went to these places and experienced this lifestyle, etc., which was unique to parts of the United States or being American. And when we lose these historic sites and it's replaced by something nondescript, something that is common or something that is just redundant, you know, like you see everywhere, like a 7-Eleven, for example, I mean, a little bit of the history and culture of the area disappears along with it. And it's important to the tourist industry here that when tourists come here, they're going to come and see something. You know, I mean, why would they even come here at all if there's nothing to see? If they have a 7-Eleven back where they live, and they come here to look at a Hollywood 7-Eleven, what's the difference? Well, they're not going to come here anymore. They might come here just for the weather, maybe, and that's all. And then, of course, for the residents here, whether you're born here or not, when people come here from other countries or states to live in California and live in Los Angeles, they want to live somewhere where there's some culture, some history, something that was here before them that distinguishes the area from anywhere else. And so it's a proven fact that that people need some roots. People need to know where they're, what's happened here, significantly or not. The architecture-wise, of course, we hardly have any drive-ins anymore. And even though it's not a drive-in now, it still is one of the few buildings left around town, which kind of harkens back to the car culture of what Los Angeles, Southern California was all about. So yes, it's important that we try to keep as many of these sites as possible. I'm talking theaters, public buildings, restaurants, historical and cultural sites, etc. And without this, I mean, we really have a very empty cultural life.
Thank you. with a moral. All you girls should pay some mind. When you find a man worth keeping, be satisfied, huh? Make sure to treat him kind, 'cause a good man is hard to find. You can always get the other kind. When you think you got a pal, you can find him messing around another gal, then you rave.
The specific situation.
You'll even start to crave to see him laying deep down on his grave.
Where the derby is sitting on a lawn and a developer wants to build condominiums.
You better hug him in the morning, kiss him every night, give him plenty loving, treat him
that
right.
Because a good man, now is there some way that the derby could either be integrated into their design, do you think, or is it possible that the derby could be moved to another location?
One fine day, she met some other cat. He took all the money, then left the flat.
He's a dirty rogue!
Now she's calling me on the phone. She said, baby, you better come on home all alone. But if I'm gonna go back to her grand shack, she's gotta hug me in the morning, kiss me every night, give me plenty loving, treat me right. I cause a good man nowadays is hard to find.
That's a really good question. I mean, there's three questions here and three answers to that. The first answer to the first question, basically about the housing situation. There are many, many, many lots and places to develop other than historic sites. Number one.
She better not stumble a lie. And now she knows what to do when the day is through. She's gotta hug me in the AM, kiss me in the PM, give me plenty loving with all her might. I call the good man nowadays is hard to find.
Why they glom onto historic sites to develop and leave other places left open is beyond my interest. I mean, I don't understand. Number two, if it is a done deal, yes, there have been many occasions in which the historic place was incorporated into the project. We're working on many like that in Hollywood right now, in which we incorporated the original building and they built a mall or something around it and used it inside and used it as a publicity tool, by the way, to advertise the new development as a historic site, you know, this kind of thing. Distances within the city, So to move it somewhere else is just, it would not work. In other words, the impact of its historical importance and everything would be lost. Restored back to what it looked like as the Car Cafe, and it can be a Louisa's or anything, I don't care. It's just that it would be nice to have it back to its original form and function as a restaurant or a club or whatever they want. I don't care. It's just that I would like to see it in my fantasy, you know, put back to what it looked like and put that Brown Derby sign back on top. Saying this is the Brown Derby historic site. A wonderful collectible, which I have one for myself and one for Hollywood Heritage, and that is a miniature little hat box with a little miniature felt derby in it with beautiful pictures and everything of all the derbies on it. And this was produced, this little souvenir hat was produced in the late 20s and into the 30s as a collectible for people to buy. And not only did they have these little hats, they had ashtrays and key rings and cigarette cases and candy boxes, and all kinds of merchandising was done for the Brown Derby over its long history. And we're always looking for these wonderful, whimsical items that have come out over the years. They are highly prized by us. And yes, we do put them on exhibition at the Hollywood Studio. It's called the Hollywood Heritage Museum, or the Lasky DeMille Barn. It's a museum of old Hollywood and filmmaking in Hollywood, which is located across from the Hollywood Bowl on Highland Avenue in Hollywood. I would love it to be, because it is a historic place, and it was always been a roadhouse. Remember, Willard's was there all the way back to the early 20s on that same site. And it should be a landmark, because it's a cultural landmark. It was a important, Willard's was very famous and important in its day, And then, of course, the Brown Derby being there, drive-in, was important in its day.